What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 547th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I'm your host, Steve. With me is Greg.
Hello, hello. Hello, hello. It is the middle of a blizzard recovery week here in lovely Minnesota. Nobody's going anywhere. Nobody should go anywhere. But yet, we made it to a mall yesterday.
We did. It wasn't too busy, actually.
No, I'm not surprised it was.
Hannah, also here.
Hello, I am here as well. It's been rainy here, but nothing like you all have had. Just constant rain and not super cold, but cold for here.
Are you flooded out? Because there's places that are flooding out.
Yesterday it was a warm 20 degrees.
Yeah, 30s and 40s here, just constant rain, which was fun for Community Day.
Well, speaking of Community Day, that's what we're going to start off with. We got some Pokemon Go news. We got some VGC news. We got some Squish Mellows. I don't know. Squish news. And then some Pokemon
Masters. Squishy Squish.
Some Squishy Squish stuff. And the Pokemon Masters EX. Not really a lot going on in Scarlet and Violet, although Joe Serebii thinks they're going to start talking about Golden Go. I was hoping that the commentators would all be on the same page this weekend at San Diego, because I've been told by the commentating staff that the people behind, because they wear the headsets, and like they're told to say Pokemon a certain way, just like the voice actors are in the anime. I guess they didn't get the memo yet, because
they haven't decided. The anime hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, no one knows how to say any of these Pokemon's names, so we're still on the fence on that. Anyways, let's start off with the Pokemon Go news. Community Day came and went. It was Chespin, which I think most people would argue is a good Pokemon because it's a new Pokemon and it's a starter, so it hits those two checkboxes, a brand new shiny.
Starting 2023 strong, doing
relatively.
It right.
I would assume that they're going to probably, well, okay, so Fennekin would be next. I don't know if it would be in like 2 months next, but my assumption is they would save Froakie for the summer, since we already know that summer is the busiest season for Hoenn.
Because next month is Hoenn Superfest. Right?
Yeah, the Hoenn Superfest.
Yep.
Yes, the Hoenn's. Well, so when they did like the other starters, it was like every other month.
It used to be, right.
And then they just stopped doing starters, which makes sense because they
had to slow down.
They're running out of Pokemon. Yeah, so I maybe March is Fennekin, and then that would be April, May for Froakie. See, I think that's too early. I think that's
too early.
Because because of how popular Greninja is, they'll want to save that for a summer event.
Have it solidly in summer.
Right.
July, August.
Having once been called out recently by a certain Australian member of our Slack, it is only summer up here and it is winter down under.
But it is also summer for Japan.
We all know which hemisphere they prefer.
It is never Australia. Never.
I think it's safe to say that the United States, Japan, and Germany are their three biggest markets. I've heard from sources that Germany is one of the biggest markets. I can't report who those sources are, but I...
Was it Germany? Did all the Germans contact you?
I was buying a pretzel in Germany. The pretzel guy was like, Pokemon Go is huge here?
Hey.
And I was like, this is some first-hand reporting. Look, there's no secret that Germany has its own... There's three GoFests in the world. They just happen to line up with those three countries I just listed. So, yeah, those all happen to be in the north. Those all also happen to be in the northern hemisphere. I think they're saving Froakie for summer to double dip.
I think that's a good idea. You might be giving them that idea.
Yeah.
But they also already have
the
plan.
We don't know what to do for the year. They're like,
Janine is quickly scribbling down. So, okay, so is that a July Pokemon, do you feel?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then what's a May Pokemon?
Oh, May Rosalia, would then be
Fennekin,
right?
Again.
June, July. Or maybe Fennekin is like April.
But if Fennekin's in March.
It's a 3 month in between instead of every other month.
Oh, so you're saying they're going to go not every month, they're going every 3 months.
Yeah.
Okay, so then so we got Hoenn Superfun Vegas Bonanza, February.
Mm-hmm.
What janky filler are they doing for March?
Why does it have to be janky? It could just be a filler. Okay, here's what they're going to do next month.
It's
going to
be a janky filler.
While I know some people, like, I know I'm in the Niantic creator group, I don't know what's coming next. I did not even know, like, when Larvitar got announced for, which is news, Larvitar is the classic community day. When Larvitar got announced, I found out kind of the same time you guys all found out. I think I might have found out, like, the night before, and I was like, oh, that's... Look, I'm sure people are excited about Larvitar. Like, Tyranitar's a very good raid attacker. I went very hard on that community day.
Yeah, that was an intense one for me.
You also told me the wrong date.
What did I say?
You were like, it's the weekend is like in 2 weeks.
Is it next week?
No,
isn't
it's
it?
It's the 21st.
Yeah,
isn't it's...
But you're like, oh, I think it's like around the 15th. I'm like, that doesn't sound at all right.
I think it's the 21st.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, my guess is for next month, because it's going to be the Hoenn Super, what'd you call it, the Super Fest?
Hoenn Super Fun Fest. Happy, great
they're
time.
They're going to do a Gen 3 Pokemon that's going to be shiny anyways. And then the internet's going to get mad because, like...
It's going to be Spinda.
Well, I'm looking at the Gen 3 Pokemon. I know Gulpin cannot be shiny, right? So that's going to be new for Hoenn.
They do really like making sure as many of the shinies are out as possible before the tour happens, so that the tour is less exciting.
Cacnea cannot be shiny yet?
Can Castform be shiny?
Castform can be shiny, yes. They
selectively. Maybe all of them?
Selectively.
At first it was only a couple of the forms. I don't know if all of them are at this
point
or not.
I don't think Snowy can be shiny. I think it's just Rainy.
No, Snowy definitely can.
So then the sun is the non-shiny one.
That sounds right. I know Rainy may have been changed in the last year.
I'm looking at this list. Gulpin and Cacnea both cannot be shiny. Yeah, I don't.
Can Zangoose be shiny?
Yes.
Barboach?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Baltoy?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Lilleap?
Yes.
Anorith?
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
Anorith is the strawberry shiny.
Did they do Tropius? Tropius?
Tropius is definitely being released shiny for the tour.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Tropius
is also regional.
Africa.
Mm-hmm.
They could do... They did Galarian Zigzagoon. They never did a regular Zigzagoon community.
True.
But that's already shiny.
And has been for a while.
But is that's never stopped them before.
Yeah, correct. That has not stopped them before. You know what they could do? This is what I think. They do Wurmple. They had great success with Weedle. They do Wurmple because Wurmple...
And make everybody mad when all of their shiny Wurmple evolve into one single Pokemon and not the other one?
I don't think Wurmple's a bad pick.
No, it's a good Pokemon.
Because you get five shinies out of that. Ideally, right? Technically, there's five shinies there, not three. Because you get Cascoon, Silcoon, Beautifly, Dustox. And then they don't have to worry about a new one.
Well, let's just have it be Relicanth.
Just a single Relicanth?
Yeah.
Look, New Zealand has very little going on for them. Relicanth is the
only
thing.
They have hobbits. Don't even. Are we assuming for Super Happy Hoenn Great Day, and is this how we're getting Jirachi?
Yeah.
Because they've put out Deoxys already, right? Like, that's been in raids forever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that, yeah.
They milk Deoxys because it's good for GBL, too.
Well, one of them.
Yeah. The big blocky one is. Yeah, this is how we get Jirachi. This is how we get Primal Groudon. This is how we get Primal Kyogre. I know some people were like, when you go to the fest, Hannah, you're not going, right?
I don't think so. I don't think I'm going to be able to. I really, really want to go to one. I've still never been to an in-person go event, but not this one, I think.
I was asked by people like, let me remote into Primal Groudon and Kyogre when you're going. I don't think Niantic's going to let people remote into these, right?
No, like, I don't think that one's going to happen.
Almost definitely not.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm bummed that I will be on a super fun vacation and having to miss the garbage town that is Vegas.
Wait, have you been to Vegas?
Oh, I hate Vegas with screaming pat. I hate that city so much. Yes, I've been to Vegas multiple times.
You think it's worse than St. Louis?
Yes, way worse than St. Louis.
Yeah, this is for sure the way to get Jirachi, obviously. And then, you know, they'll make... They did Mew and Celebi for everyone else, right? Like, that was eventually free for everyone else. Mew, Celebi. I mean, they gave everyone a shiny Celebi for Christmas, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah. What did they do? How did we get the
We got them because we went to the GoFest, Greg.
But what... I know they gave a thing after. Was that...
The shiny one?
Yeah. Was
the
that
shiny
a quest
Celebi
line?
Was for the movie.
It was for the Secrets of the Jungle movie.
But that was just a quest line, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that was just like a free quest line with Team Rocket. That was like one of the more generous events.
One of the most generous events.
Speaking of generous, I think I haven't seen anyone complain about this upcoming event. It looks really great. I actually might
it's
take
a
whole
one.
A whole day off just to grind this event because it is actually genuinely good. This is the Live Your Own Whimsical Adventure in the Twinkling Fantasy event. Also, somebody pointed out that the Mythical Wish logo looks like a Disney Channel logo, and I cannot unsee
it. Oh, for sure.
100%.
It is insane.
It is... Well, so it's got a very Barbie / Tinkerbell feel to it.
Yeah.
Like, it's got that early 2000s, clearly we're making this for girls logo design choices that all the gay boys love. And we're like, yes, give me that 1,000 times that, more of that.
I don't like it, but I see the Disney in it. Okay, you can surround yourself in a circle of fairy-type Dedenne and battle with Dragon Pokemon Mega Salamence during the upcoming Twinkling Fantasy event. Mega Salamence will make its debut in raids, which Salamence is an incredibly popular Pokemon. Mega Salamence, you know, I feel like some people love Mega Salamence, some people don't. It's definitely a look.
I think it's cooler now that we have the ancient one from Scarlet and Violet.
Oh, Roaring
and the relation
Moon.
There.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's the Star Wars Rebel logo, so I have always loved.
Got it. You can get twice the XP for successfully catching Pokemon with nice, great, and excellent throws. This is really great. It's usually... Excellent throws does give you a lot of experience compared to the other two, but getting double just for doing that is great. You will get additional candy for nice, great, and excellent throws. And trainers who are level 31 and above will receive XL candy for successful, nice, great, and excellent throws. We'll see how, see if that bonus actually works. I feel like anytime Niantic says, you'll receive XL candy, it's like, are we actually receiving it?
I think it worked for the Bug Catcher event. I'm pretty sure these were the same bonuses for the Bug Catcher event last summer, and everybody loved that event who played it.
I remember that one. I remember I bought... Okay, hold on. I think Niantic gave me a free ticket to the Hoenn Mega Starters, although I was planning on buying it because I was going to go to Mall America anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't feel like I was getting the, like, XL bonus candy.
Yeah, that one was a bust.
That did not work.
That was paid for.
But yes, that Mega event was good, except for the XL candy not happening. I got 3 shiny Blaziken from that event that I didn't really need but enjoyed, but I don't think anybody saw the XL candy increase.
Yeah, which, again, that was a paid event. This is, you don't have to pay any money to get XL candy for nice, great, or excellent throws, so we'll see if that's a thing. The wild Pokemon that we'll encounter here are going to be Clefairy, Clefable, Jigglypuff, Dratini. Boy, Gen 1 strikes again. Togetic, Meryl, Ralts, Vibrava, Bagon, Dino, and Dedenne. If you're lucky trainers, a shiny Dedenne will make its debut. And if you're really lucky trainers, Goomy and Noibat will spawn in the wild. It's easier to say which Pokemon cannot be shiny. Vibrava and Goomy cannot be shiny.
Nor is the Clefable marked. Why do they do this?
Oh, sorry. Also, yes, correct.
Why? The one before it is just...
So, base form Pokemon and babies can be shiny once they are shiny. Evolved Pokemon cannot be shiny unless they are a Pokemon that has a Mega that has been released. At that point, that evolved Pokemon can be shiny. That is the general rule.
Going back to Community Day... I only did 2 of the 3 hours because I had to take my cat to an appointment. But throughout that whole 2 hours, the only raids that spawned, and we were at Mall America, there's a lot of gyms, were a Nidoking and a Nidoqueen, which, number one, cannot be shiny.
There was an Alolan Marowak when I first arrived at right at 2.
Well,
that was the only thing I saw.
But like, who in 2023 is being like, where's my wallet? I gotta get into this Nidoking raid right now. Like, who is doing these raids? Who?
Nobody.
Somebody has to be.
Somebody wants to use their free pass.
Yeah,
that's the
a
only
lot of
case
free
I can imagine.
That day.
Totally.
Like
if I was leaving the Mall of America and I knew I wasn't going to do any other raid, I would jump into anything just to use my free pass. But like, at the start of Community Day, I'm not going to waste my free pass on a Nidoqueen. I'm going to be like, hopefully Reshiram spawns within the next like 45 minutes here.
And it didn't.
And the thing is, like, I think maybe Nidoqueen is good in GBL, but I think it's like the purified one or the shadow one. I don't think it's just the regular
shadow
one. But it's like a genuine, I am being genuine. Like, who is doing these raids? Like, you could maybe say you're doing the raid for like this chance of shiny, but they can't even be shiny. They're not good for GBL. They can't be shiny. They've been around for 6 years.
Like, how have you not gotten one yet?
Yeah, I would love to see like the statistics on who's still joining Marowak raids, who's still joining Rockruff raid.
I will say this: when I got there, if the Alolan Marowak raid had more than 45 seconds left, and when I checked, there was actually a lobby with people in it, I probably would have jumped into it.
Yeah, Alolan Marowak can be shiny, and it's not available in any way other than raids, unless there's some special event going on. So that's actually a worthwhile raid, especially for new people. But Nidoqueen... I mean, even if you're new, even if you're trying to complete your Pokédex, if you catch Nidoqueen, you still need the other two.
Yeah. Mega Nidoqueen, Mega Nidoking, and we're... okay, so those are the Pokemon that be in the wild. This is also really good for people who want to try to complete their fairy and their dragon medals, because those,
yes.
I think fairy and dragon, dragon for sure, but fairy and dragon are some of the more rare spawns.
Oh yeah, those are 2 of the 3 I need left to complete. Get to platinum.
There will be a new collection challenge where it doesn't say what you need to collect, but if you do finish it, you will get 50 Salamence, Mega Energy, a Charge TM, a Fast TM. Field Research will give you Clefairy, Dratini, Bagon, Dedenne, maybe Goomy. One-star raids will have Jigglypuff, Meryl, Axew, and Dino. Three-star raids will have Mawile, Drudigan, Dedenne. So Drudigan's coming back. Not that he's constantly missing, but he was gone for a little bit. 5-star raids will give you Zekrom, and then your mega raids will be Mega Salamence. And
we had a Bagon Community Day, didn't we?
Yes, a while ago.
So somewhere in there, I have a shiny that I just need Mega Candy for.
And then I think, did we have Axie Community Day yet, or is that this year?
That's supposedly this year.
Yeah. Probably another
summer. Remember an Axie Community Day, but I don't pay attention, so...
I can't remember which... this is also, I'm sure, going to be a minor complaint that happens on Tuesday. So the Twinkling Fantasy event starts at 8 a.m. Tuesday, January 10th. But Zekrom is not going to appear in raids until 10 a.m. So there will be a 2-hour gap, and I am sure... Somebody's gonna complain that, like, the event started, but we still have Reshiram, which isn't even a bad Pokemon. Like, Reshiram is, like,
Reshiram's a better shiny.
Just a heads up, the Zekrom starts at 10, and then the actual event starts at 8. And then this event is about a week long, if I'm not mistaken. That goes until Tuesday, January 10th, until Monday, January 16th. So yeah, pretty much a week for this event. Seems
overall,
good.
It's a good event. Yeah, I would say that the only thing that's kind of lacking is that it doesn't give a pose as the reward for the collection challenge like the bug catcher one did, because that was really nice. That was kind of a huge incentive. When you finish the collection challenge, you could put on that pose and show your friends that you finished it. But other than that, this is a good event. It has good Pokemon spawning, and it's a great time to get those medals to platinum.
Speaking of getting a medal to platinum, a lot of people for several years needed one more Pokemon to get their Hoenn medal to platinum. And that Pokemon is now here. Kecleon
finally
made its debut in Pokemon Go. The Color Swap Pokemon is here. Trainers who attend Pokemon Go Hoenn Tour will be able to get shiny Kecleon for the first time if they're lucky. I think they did this in a cool way. Hannah, do you want to explain how Kecleon...
I want to add one small note also. shiny Kecleon will also be available globally during the Global Hoenn Tour after the Las Vegas one. So it is not exclusive to Vegas only. I just wanted to make that known. But yeah, they did this well.
It didn't break.
They did...
I disagree because I never saw this.
You never saw any of this happen.
Have you opened...
Never saw a single thing.
I haven't actually caught one either. I went looking after Community Day yesterday and just haven't run into one. Have been checking this morning, haven't seen any. But they've been doing these Pokemon. They finally introduced Zorua. They finally brought in Vivian. And now they've finally got Kecleon. And they're kind of somewhat rapidly introducing these Pokemon that have been missing for a while. And I'm kind of wondering if there's a reason why. But this one seems to have gone off the most... Well, Vivian was pretty well accepted, but this one went off really smoothly. There was one bug, though, because apparently the ability to see Kecleon at a Pokestop that is far away outside your spin distance is considered a bug, which is unfortunate, because that's helpful.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah. As long as they keep Kecleon in, I think that that's great, and I think that its spawn rate... I'm not deep in the data mines, but I think that its spawn rate is more related to Rocket Pokestops than it is related to season or location or any other event spawn rate. So I think that it might stick around for a while. And as long as they keep it around, this is a good mechanic. This is a good way to get this Pokemon in here, and it's an exciting thing to run into.
Like any event that requires a lot of Pokestops, the city players benefit the most here.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That is true.
I usually stay around Mall of America for a bit after the event, mostly because, you know, people there are going to do the middle evolution raids, and so more, you know, you get 30 manits or whatever extra of what the Community Day Pokemon was. But I had to leave pretty promptly to pick my cat up, so I only did one lap around MOA, which has, what, like 50, 60 Pokestops or something crazy like that. No Kecleon. But I was like, unless they're going to remove it within 48 hours, I'll be back at MOA for an evening, and I'll probably eventually find it, right? Like, I think I saw some people saying, like, ah, it took me like 20, 30 minutes. I live in a big city, but like that seemed to be the mm-hmm. consensus of like 20, 30 minutes, and eventually I found it. But also, I'm surrounded by hundreds of Pokestops again. Benefiting people in big cities, just because that's how the game is.
If there was any way to make it so it spawned more in places with fewer Pokestops, that would be helpful, but I don't think they're doing that.
Yeah, and I think to your point, Hannah, as long as they don't remove it, if somebody in a small town eventually goes to a big city, they have something to look forward to, right? Like, it would suck if they were like, well, it's gone now, and it's like, well, I was planning on going to Chicago in a week, and that's when I was going to get it, but now it's gone. So
I know at least one person who's gone running for one. And that's what I like about it being able to be seen from far away. It has that little bit of excitement that makes you go running for a Pokemon that you don't usually get anymore, that you used to get at the beginning of this game. But once they fix that bug, that's gone.
Boo.
Now we have nothing I mean, this was the thing for like Smeargle for the longest time. Is when Smeargle going to come? When Smeargle going to come? And then Smeargle came, and everyone kind of went silent. And then we all moved on to like Kecleon of like when's now? I don't. What is the Pokemon we're missing? What is the thing that people are going to be like? Where is this Pokemon?
I'm trying to think of other weird gimmick Pokemon.
Yeah,
I mean, like
I know that some people have mentioned Larvesta, but that's not really a gimmick Pokemon.
No.
That's just
It's just probably going to be a Pokemon that needs 400 candy when it shows up, right? Like, that's what they're going to do with it.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, Larvesta is here. 400
maybe
candy.
Maybe it's their first 800 candy.
You can maybe say Manaphy and Fionne, but like we know at this point they're going to save it for next year Sinnoh Tour.
Yeah.
like that is like kind of guaranteed that at this point that that's next year Sinnoh Tour. Like, there's no way that Manaphy and Fionne isn't going to be something where it takes up one of your egg spots, you get a special incubator for it, and you have to walk, like, 50 miles to, like, hatch it or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, that's, like, the easiest. Niantic's taking a lot of notes this episode. They're like, all right, put Froakie in the summer. All right, a really big incubator for Manaphy. Got it? Okay. Yeah, I don't know what the next, like, wacky...
Well, I just try to think of what gimmicks exist. Like...
The fact that Zorua came out before Kecleon was also pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. Zorua and Vivian came out before Kecleon, but they finally got Kecleon in there.
Not that popular. Not, yeah. Gotta say it's...
It was a running joke in Go for a while.
But I
and
mean,
I think that's made it more popular.
They could have held off until the month that it was closing. Like, Pokemon Go is shutting down in 2 months. Guess who's finally here? Kecleon. I mean, they could have kept that going for years.
I mean, it makes sense for them to do it now because they have, you know, they have to have all the Pokemon for the Hoenn Tour, right? No, they don't have to, but that's...
They don't have to, but they should.
The selling point is having all the Pokemon. So it's like, you do it now... You get people excited and talking about it. And then you get to double dip and reintroduce it again in a month where the shiny is there. I know there's the, like, I personally like surprises. Like, I had no clue they were doing Kecleon either until New Zealand was like, we got our New Zealand news. I always like the surprise stuff. I mean, you see this with some things where people are like, oh, I wish they would announce this ahead of time. I wasn't planning to do Community Day and now I'm going to miss out. And it's like, I don't know. Like, I get the announcing schedules of like, here's all the Pokemon, here's when Community Day is. But like, I think there's still a lot of value to having surprises in video games.
Especially when this is something that looks like it's going to keep going and not be a limited time thing, hopefully. Crossing my fingers for that. But if it is that, then it's a nice surprise.
I mean, I tend to lean more towards let me plan than, like, I get the surprise feeling when you announced it. Like, I don't need it. I don't need it on the day. When you announce it's coming, that I've experienced the surprise. It's not better the day of. It's almost more annoying the day of because I'm like, well, I have already made plans for this evening, so cool. You could have told me a week ago, and I would have just as been surprised.
How dare
like
you
were...
not put Pokemon Go first?
Well,
how dare you not build your life around this game?
I mean...
It did seem like they were really trying to hold the surprise in until people got a chance to catch it. That if you weren't paying attention to the news online... weren't paying attention to people's Twitters, weren't paying attention to non-official announcements. They didn't announce it until after the very end of the Pacific Time Zone's Community Day. So that gave plenty of people who don't pay attention to those news sources time to run into a Kecleon and just have that be a completely new surprising thing, which I think can be kind of cool.
Yeah. And I don't know, they did do it on a new Pokemon, a starter Pokemon, so it's not like... I don't know how some players think, but like, I don't think Chespin was like a skippable Community Day.
There's a lot of people who do not like that Chespin line.
Sure.
That's
sure.
True.
I just feel like if you're a day one Pokemon Go player or you've just been playing for a long time, it's like, this is a brand new shiny. Might as well go out and at least get three of them or whatever, or one of them to complete your line.
I mean, there are people like me who are like, I have to leave early.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I had to leave like literally right on time just because I had an appointment as well.
So it's like, had I known, I might have made different arrangements ahead of time. But I mean, I'm going to be honest, I wouldn't have. Like, the only way I would have is if they announced, like, it's only happening after community
day.
Mm-hmm. And it's only there for until the end of the day. Like, then I would have, like, maybe have made arrangements to be like, I'm going to come later because I need to do this thing. But knowing that Super Happy Go Fest Hoenn time is coming up where everything's going to be available, I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
I'll get it when I get it. It's Kecleon. Like,
right. You get one and you'll probably never think about it again. Like, unless you really wanted to grind for the shiny or something.
Into the box, friend.
Okay. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we got some other Pokemon news. So we will be right back. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for building your brand and growing your business online. Stand out with a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything. Greg, you can sell your products, your content that you create, and even your time. Or, I mean, anyone else, but Greg's here.
This is true. Anyway, I do sell my time in the form of games. But Hannah, let's say you wanted to start a website where you could have users from different hemispheres submit their Pokemon Go experiences and then compare them and come up with an actual favoritism scale of how Pokemon Go favors Northern versus Southern hemispheres. Well, let me tell you, Squarespace can absolutely help.
It can do that.
It can. It absolutely can. You can have a members area. Say you only want trusted Pogo community members, people that you can personally vouch for submitting their Northern versus Southern Hemisphere experiences. In the member area, you can make that happen. You can monetize
their content. Yeah, you can monetize
it. Yeah.
You can get money out of that, theoretically. And
why wouldn't you want to get money out of that? It's great. You can send out email campaigns like, hey, there's a super happy, fun time Hoenn events coming up. Everybody get ready to submit all of your experiences post Super Happy Fun Hoenn Rah-Rah Day. You can put up analytics. You can learn how to grow your blog and how to reach more people as you clearly make the scientific study case, because this is all for science.
And once you get there, you can maybe push Niantic. Make another Hear Us Niantic, all based off of your data from your website.
That's true. You can do all of that by heading over to squarespace.com/PKMNCAST, and you can get a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, hit that launch button on that website. You can use offer code PKMNCAST to save 10% off your first purchase of website or domain. All of that over at Squarespace. Build a website. This podcast is brought to you by EveryPlate.
If you think meal kits are too expensive, think again. EveryPlate is 25% cheaper than grocery shopping. With food prices at the grocery store going up, I can count on EveryPlate to be a great value week after week. EveryPlate's quality ingredients come pre-portioned to help you save money and reduce food waste. You know, like that bag of spinach you throw out every week. Get everything you need for the week delivered at the same time with sides, desserts, and ready-to-eat snacks to complement your weekly order. Try Vanilla Delight Cheesecake, Sweet Kale Salad, Garlic Bread, and Protein Bundles to take things up a notch.
All right, I have one thing before I ask Steve how your EveryPlate's going. You know what's weird?
That I didn't know there was garlic bread in these dishes?
Yeah, because there's garlic bread.
Where did they get garlic bread? I want that.
Have you not been looking at the website? I've seen this. So here's the weird thing. I've been doing these ads for like, what, a year now?
Yeah.
You would think I would get mail from EveryPlate to me.
Do you not?
My husband just got an EveryPlate thing. And I'm like, I looked at it. I saw EveryPlate. I was about to open it. And I went, well, that's not my name. Steve, how is your EveryPlate journey
going? I know
going?
Your husband doesn't leave the house to go to the grocery store.
I know.
Store.
This is true. They don't know. He stays at home. But they don't know that he refuses to cook. This is like the perfect fit for him. Like, they have done their market research because it probably should have gotten to him, not me. I just felt I felt this urge to open it, and I'm like, well, this isn't my mail. How's your ever plate journey going, Steve?
It's good. They sent me like a bonus box. Sometimes every plate does that for seasons. They'll be like, hey, we'll like to send you a free box. I think every plate signed for the year, so we'll have a bunch of every plate ads this year, which is really great for the podcast. But the bonus box had meals I didn't pick. They had so very adventurous this week. The first one I made was a chicken taco meal. And they had a bunch of different toppings. I'm very plain though, so I would be curious, like, oh, I barely put anything on my tacos. Even the plain, pretty plain. I was a little adventurous. It was still incredibly good.
Still tacos.
Yeah, you still were like, this meal slaps.
So, if you wish to try every plate, you can get your first box for just $1.49 per meal by going to everyplate.com and entering code supereffective149. That is up to $110 value for starting your every plate journey. So go ahead and remember to go to everyplate.com and enter code supereffective149. I am currently on there hunting for garlic toast.
And we are back from our break. We got some new Pokemon Masters characters. We didn't talk about these last week.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
They're here.
They're new ones. Well, they did their like New Year's cycling the old ones. Now they're doing the New Year's cycling the new ones, the 2023 ones.
I found the garlic bread.
Oh, on the every play?
Yeah, I found it.
Thank goodness. How much got you for that garlic bread? Okay, so we have how do you say her name? Liza. We have Liza, New Year's 2023, and Rapidash, and we have Dawn 2023.
Excuse me. Shiny Galarian Rapidash.
Okay, well, the Pokemon.com does not state that doesn't state that in the title, at least. We have Oricorio Dazzle in Pokemon Masters EX. This is off Pokemon.com, by the way. A new year is upon us, and it brings two new sync pairs to Pokemon Masters EX. Contest Spectacular Idol, Liza steps out with her new partner Pokemon, Shiny Galarian Rapidash. Dawn returns in a new festive outfit with Senzu-style Oricorio as her partner. These two sync pairs will be around until January 17th, 2023. At 10 p.m. Pacific time, it ends. It looks like they are both... Oh, I can't... It doesn't... Usually it says if they're attackers or not. They look like attackers? Am I missing that information on the website?
I think the Rapidash is support. Let me look real quick.
Because Greg is looking that up, it says that they recommended sync pair partners to partner with the Rapidash. You can do Phoebe and Dusk Noir. And then for Dawn, you can do, where's my recommendation? You can do Mallow and Zarina, recommended to pair with Dawn here. Dawn is a tech type sync pair. I found at least Dawn's.
Yeah.
This ghost type tech sync pair will have a rhythmic moves, and they can put the other team at a disadvantage thanks to Teeter Dance and Feather Dance, which can confuse and lower the target's attack respectively. If you have a sync pair that can boost ally stats, they will also enhance Dawn's and Oricorio's sync move, Elegant Celebration Ghost Beam. That's a mouthful. Which grows in strength as all their stats are raised.
And the Glaring Rapidash is a strike.
Striker?
Yep.
Yeah, it just doesn't say that in the dialogue. I don't know why they said that for Dawn, but for the Rapidash, they missed the mark there. These are cute. I'm not a huge Dawn fan, but, you know, people like Dawn.
A lot of people like Dawn.
Yeah, there's a lot of Dawns now. I think Dawn is beginning to rival Erica.
No one takes away from Erica. Erica has one thing going for her, that's Pokemon Masters EX.
Liza, the Liza Rapidash, it is a shiny, it is... Shiny Galarian Rapidash. It is also a very, very, very good unit. Like, everywhere that I've looked is like 10 out of 10. Try to get this one. I have not been able to pull it yet, however. But overall, it does seem to be a very, very good sync. They also have a really big New Year's celebration happening right now where you're just getting free pull tickets again. Like, you just get tickets to pull random units for free every day you log in and do their little super easy New Year's event, which is like, here's three level 10 Pokemon, knock them out, and you'll get two free pull tickets. So that's happening for a while, and then again, log in so that you can possibly get a chance of winning a bunch of gems. The New Year's events are pretty good. They're pretty generous.
Greg, when did they add this thing where you log in and, like, you know how you collect your gems? Because the only thing I've been doing for the last, like, 3-4 weeks is logging in just to collect gems, because I'm going to do that big spend pull before these units leave. What? Why is a Pokemon popping up?
They added that for New Year's, and I cannot tell you why.
I just got
wondering.
An Arbok. Yeah. Yesterday was like a Squirtle.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Did I miss the memo on this?
Yeah. I mean, the memo was, hey, these are going to show up now.
But why?
I when it first showed up, I thought, do I click on it to get a bonus? Is there a... No, it's just there to be... It's just there to celebrate your accomplishment of logging in and collecting.
Maybe they took a cue from Pokemon Home.
Could be.
But that it doesn't make as much sense here.
No.
Yeah, if somebody knows the exact reason why Arbok is popping up when I'm collecting my 300 gems, please tweet at me. I'm very confused. I got a lot of gems, though. I'm very excited to do a bunch of pulls.
Yeah.
What banners are existing right now?
Oh, there are way too many banners.
Okay.
All of the New Year's are back. The two New Year's people are back.
The two we just said. We got Steven and Shiny Rayquaza. That's until February. We got N and Reshiram, also till February. Yep. We got Lily and Lunala. Wow, I forgot that Pokemon's name. Till February. We got Kalem and Shiny Greninja. That actually ends tonight, so by the time this podcast goes up, he's gone. We got Zarina and regular Greninja, also will be gone. There's a seasonal tiered. There's a super spotlight seasonal tiered. There is a monthly Poke Fair that has Cynthia and Garchomp. There is a lot. I guess two of them are leaving, though. There's the five-star Poke Select, the other five-star Poke Select.
The Greninjas are heading out because they've been there for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were there
all
Christmas.
They've been there for a month.
Yep.
Yeah. So quite a bit in Masters polling wise. All right, we do have a little bit of Scarlet and Violet news. This is off Pokemon.com as well, running until this is VGC related. There was a tournament this weekend in San Diego. It was the first Scarlet and Violet tournament. I did watch some of the tournament. There is the part of me that is deeply annoyed that Community Day and tournaments and everything else under the sun is always the same weekend, because there are people like me that like to experience everything Pokemon. I can't spend the day watching a tournament and cleaning my house. I have to go run to the mall to, like, catch Shiny Chessmen and find Kecleon and then run back, and the tournament's half over, and it's whatever. I get why they do it, but it's a lot. It also sucks for people at the tournament. Like, if you're participating, like, good luck in between rounds trying to catch Chespin, I guess. Anyways, every month the ranked seasons reset, but we still had the same rules. They are now officially changing the rules. The rules that started on December 1st are the same rules that are running throughout this month, but on January 31st at 4 p.m. Pacific time, Ranked Battles Season 2 will follow after Season 1 regulations, and then there are new eligible Pokemon, which will be the Paradox Pokemon. Not legendaries still, so there's still no Box Legends, still no... What are they called? Ruined Treasures? Treasure?
Something like that.
The...
Cursed Treasures or something like that? They're like, yeah, the Treasure Pokemon. The bad Treasure Pokemon. So they're still not allowed, but they're going to allow the Paradox Pokemon. starting, I believe, February 1st.
I was seeing a number of people surprised by this, that it's happening so quickly.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised that they cut the Paradox Pokemon, right? Like, that was not a shocker to me.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Even though, like, you can catch as many as you want, and they are very easy to get after, you know, you meet Ed Sheeran. It wasn't surprising to me that they did this, because if you remember in Sword and Shield, you could theoretically get all the Gigantamax Pokemon within the first day or two, right? Like, theoretically, yeah, you could. Like, somebody just finds a Gigantamax Kingler, and you join it, and you catch it, and now you have it. And I don't know, you just move your clock forward a million times, and eventually you find all of them. Whether or not you like to do that, you can do that. But they didn't allow a lot of the Gigantamax Pokemon for many seasons. Like, I don't think they allowed Gigantamax Lapras until Season 2 or Season 3 or something like that. The fact that they're allowing Paradox Pokemon so soon is a little surprising, but, you know, they can still slowly... there will probably be a point where they allow the Hisui Pokemon, right? Like, here's the Pokemon Home update, and starting next month, you'll be able to use Ursaluna. And that will be its own, like, added on. And here's the DLC, and the DLC is introducing... Whimsicott is back, and now you can use Whimsicott, right? Like... They probably have enough planned where this makes sense. On top of, you know, we'll probably end the whole series with Legends and Kyogre will be back and all that stuff we all missed.
As per usual.
Did you guys watch any of the tournament stuff at all?
No, didn't have time.
The thing that I noticed is, look, I do know some of the people that work at the Pokemon Company that do the VGC stuff and the TCG stuff. My question for you is, what have you been doing the last couple months? Because why is all the branding still Zacian and Zamazenta? Why? What? Like,
oops.
I know it's just like a standby title screen, like the trivia stuff. Did they just not send you the PNGs for Quaxly? Like, it doesn't have to be Coridon or Miraidon, but like...
Maybe the deadline is Pokemon Day?
Yeah, I don't know. It was just very weird to be like, yeah, this, like, why is Kyogre on this graphic? Kyogre's not even in this game yet. I mean, I'm sure he will be eventually, but like I know for sure you guys have the PNGs for Quaxly, Fuecoco, and Sprigatito. Just use those. Like, what? This is their first tournament, and we're still running everything production-wise from Sword and Shield. It kind of takes you out of it a little bit. You know, you want, in my mind, you're like, this is our first big Scarlet and Violet tournament, and nothing is Scarlet and Violet branded. Like, what?
Sounds like you can hop in there, weird, and think you might be watching the wrong thing.
Right.
If you just hop in when someone's not playing.
I remember, in part, gosh, I can't stand the Twitch chat sometimes, but it's very, like, it's not... It is Twitch chat, right? Like, there is, and I'm sure YouTube chat is just as bad because they stream on YouTube, they stream on Twitch. If Mixer was still alive, I'm sure they'd stream on Mixer. But the moderation that the Pokemon, like, the Pokemon Company, again, this is to the people who work at the Pokemon Company. You guys are bad at moderation. Like, when somebody goes in and says, like, oh, you know, Wolfie Glick got his match got banned because he stole somebody's Pokemon cards, right? Like, a very bad, like, it's not a funny joke. It's just right, a bad joke. Like, that person doesn't deserve a 5-minute timeout. They're just going to come back in 5 minutes and make another bad joke. Time them out for the entire tournament. Give them a 48-hour timeout. Like, I get that the Pokemon Company wants everyone to feel welcomed, and they don't want to do these harsh bans, and I'm sure that somebody there is like not familiar with Twitch chat, and they were just like, I'm in charge of this weekend, I have to read and moderate. Ban them for the entire weekend. I have sat in so many tournament chats where I've watched these people get 2-minute timeout, or they just get their message deleted, or they get a 5-minute timeout, and they come back and they still have the same terrible bad taste jokes, and they ruin the experience for everyone. And at the end of the day, there is value in watching with other people, right? That's why these big events, that's why Pokemon movies always have thousands of people watching them, because, like, sometimes Twitch chat is genuinely funny. Like, at the end of the tournament, there was a bunch of people being like, I'm waiting for the movie. And nowhere am I like, wait, there's supposed to be a Pokemon movie after this? And, like, half of Twitch chat is like, I'm so excited for the movie. And the other half of Twitch chat is like, what are you talking about? There's no movie. And I'm like, I need to see the end. I need to see if there's a movie. And so we're all waiting and watching. And all of a sudden the stream ends because they're like, goodbye. And half of Twitch chat was like, where's the movie? And the other half of Twitch chat is like, no, wait it out. The movie is still here. We're sitting in an empty channel. There is nothing on the screen. And I'm like, well, I guess they were lying. Of course Twitch chat was lying. There's no movie. And then all of a sudden Twitch chat's like, refresh. And we refreshed. And there's a movie on. The Shaman movie came on. And I was like, this is the Twitch chat I loved. Half of these people were so convinced that a movie was going to, and there was a movie. I was like, I guess we're watching the Shaman movie now. And it was great. And that's the Twitch chat I absolutely love. But it is so frustrating watching these tournaments and having the worst moderation in the world, because the employees at the Pokemon company are so scared to, like, ban these people. No, just ban them. They are not adding anything of value. Like, there was a year, like 6 months ago, one of the people in Twitch chat said that there was, like, a bomb in the building. Not a funny joke at all. Like, the stream went down. Like, the stream just cut, went black, which is a normal thing for Poke, because their production is, like, not the greatest, right? I was watching my friend Joe UX9. It was the top four of, I think it was Pokemon Nationals. The whole stream cut. And then somebody made, like, a bomb threat joke. There is no joke there, right? Like, to them, it was a joke. Nothing about that is funny.
Nope.
And that person got a 5-minute timeout, and they came back after 5 minutes, and they were still chatting. That is unacceptable. Like, that person should be permabanned. Like, if I was moderating that Twitch chat and somebody made these really tasteless jokes, they would be banned for at least the tournament weekend. And they would understand, that wasn't cool. Maybe the next tournament in 3 weeks, I can come back. But in a situation like that, I get it. They could make a new account, right? They could just come back in. It's very easy to make a new account on Twitch. But it ruins the experience for people who are trying to watch and have a good time and or just, like, learn about the game, especially that we have a new game. So I really was a bit frustrated with this tournament because none of the branding was new. I don't need to look at Kyogre or Zacian anymore. I love those two Pokemon. They're great. They obviously carried the end of Sword and Shield. But, like, your first tournament of the season, no new branding, the same bad moderation in Twitch chat. The only thing you did right was you put a movie at the end, and that was great. But I don't know. I also felt like the commentating team they didn't seem like super excited. Maybe they were tired. Maybe the production on the back end. Hard to say, right? Like,
yeah.
Hard to say what was happening on the back end.
It seemed like there hasn't been as much support as they've needed for some of the people running these events, at least from the things I've seen on social media from some of the earlier events in the last few months. It sounded like they needed more support and more communication, at least a little bit, which isn't uncommon for huge events. And I'm not saying I've ever worked one of these, and I've barely been to any, but it doesn't seem super pleasant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was at the Milwaukee Regionals, it ran incredibly smoothly, which was shocking to me because, you know, when I would go to various regionals or weekend tournaments when I was TCG playing, you were committing your whole day. And in between rounds, it would be like, well, I can't, like, leave because I don't know how fast the round is going to start. And I don't want to get a penalty for not being in my seat in time. But they ran it really, really smoothly. Every tournament organizer, every TO is different. So I'm not sure how the TOs were running San Diego. There did seem to be a lot of downtime between matches. But I don't know how many people participated.
About corporate moderation. Corporate companies across the board are way, way too lenient on moderation. Like, I am not going to say this is only a Pokemon problem. This is a corporate, not the corporate culture of not angering potential customers and creating bad PR by doing something extreme is so prevalent that they can't see the other side of the equation, right? This isn't just a Pokemon problem, but I want anybody out there to understand that when you allow toxic elements to remain, even if you kick them out, like the idea that I kick them out for 48 hours and they're going to learn their lesson and not and come back next time, they never learn their lesson, right? These aren't people that are, that unless you're sitting them down and saying, here's the 15 things you did wrong and they are open to that feedback, are not going to change. They are just going to be toxic. And the chances of them learning are probably less than them coming back more angry the next time, right? Because now they've got a thing to prove. Corporations across the board need to get more severe with their moderation. As a rule, they need to understand that when you are tepid about it, you are signaling to people that you are tolerating toxic behavior and that toxic behavior only gets a slap on the wrist.
And it drives the people you want away.
Correct.
Yeah. It's one of the reasons why I want to have the day free for these tournaments so I can like host them on my Twitch channel. And so people can, so I can be like, here's my insight of what's happening. Not that the commentators do a bad job. They're fine. I want to watch it without like a toxic Twitch chat is really what it comes down to. I want to sit there and watch it with a community that like it genuinely is asking questions, who like wants to learn, who get excited about big plays. For the people that are like, we'll just close Twitch chat. That defeats the whole purpose of like watching it. Like you could say, like it's why some people like going to the movies because they want to hear like the reaction of other people in the movies. Like there is what's the word for it? Like a sense of community almost there.
There is power in shared experience, right? Like live theater has a shared experience. Anything you're seeing with a group has the power of shared experience. And when you allow a toxic element to remain, like there have been a number of people who have stood up at plays that I'm in and screamed at the actors and people freeze because the audience doesn't know what to do. And if theater doesn't come in and force that person out, you are literally saying, that was fine. Interrupt our entire thing. It's fine. We tolerate that here. Like, frustrates me. It frustrates me that people aren't willing to actually take the necessary steps to create a safe and non-toxic environment because you're quote-unquote going to lose customers. The people who are mad that you moderated are the people you don't want around anyway.
I just think the people who are in charge of moderation are too scared to do anything. They're going to get like yelled at by the other people who also don't understand Twitch.
Right.
I understand Twitch, obviously. I've been on Twitch for a long time, and the moderation tools there are so good. Like, I don't know what it is like for YouTube. I think YouTube chat is like really hard to read as a viewer, and that's probably the main complaint of like live YouTube is like their chat experience is not nearly as good as Twitch. But it's really easy to click as a moderator to click on somebody's name and like look through their history. And I bet the people moderating over at Pokemon don't know how to do that. Like, it is so easy to click on a name and be like, yes, this person has done nothing but make very tasteless jokes for the last 48 hours. And like, yeah, Greg is like right in the sense of like they probably won't learn anything. But if you do a 48 hour ban, they're at least done for the weekend. They're not going to get too upset that their account is permabanned, so they're less likely to go make a new account, right? Because they don't see that they're permabanned. They just see that they can't talk for 48 hours. And in that situation, you're already diffusing. Now, I'm not saying you're diffusing all of them. There will still probably be more people that run to make a new account to come back to start talking again. But removing their power to make these very bad jokes or to just be annoying. It doesn't even have to be jokes. It's just like some people are obnoxiously annoying or whatnot. Overall, don't encourage that for other people. And like Hannah said, the toxic people are pushing away the people that genuinely want to like be there and have a good time.
I guarantee that the people that they call moderating, that isn't their full-time job.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's not.
I guarantee it's like, who's stuck doing this thing that you do maybe once a month and have no clue, and you're like, somebody has to do it. Like, there's so many ways that corporations across the board need to understand how you need to hire into social media positions, and you have to hire people who know how social media works and how to cultivate a social media presence. But also, it has been my experience that the upper levels of our corporation don't understand it. And so when you make a big decision, you are more likely to get in trouble for making a big decision than, and which was the right decision, but they don't understand it. So like, it's sort of a no-win situation for people who are stuck in these things. But I do think like we need to get a point, especially in 2023, because this is, social media has been around a long time now, that across all levels, they just generally need to get more strict about what they're doing. And I get it gets really murky. It's really hard because a lot of it is personal and subjective, and it's a murky area. But like, people have successfully worked through the murk before, right? You can successfully have very, very clear policies and follow those policies and support the people who make those decisions.
Yeah, it's not the first tournament of the year that I wanted to watch that was like, what's happening right now?
Room for improvement.
I guess we can only go up.
Yeah.
What was our last bit of news here?
I'm back to Master Rank in Unite.
Or that.
Oh, nice. Congrats on Master Rank.
I'm back to Master Rank, and Dragapult is here. Pew pew.
Well, Unite was not in the docket today, Greg. Give me my 10-second Unite info. Is Dragapult good?
Dragapult's good. It is a little complicated to play as far as I can tell, but right now it's in a good spot. I think some people are saying it's overpowered, but that is how every new character people feel. Every new character is.
Was not overpowered when he arrived.
No, Mamoswine was not overpowered when he was arrived. Sableye, who is my new main, is overpowered and I love it. But Dragapult's here. It's good. I think the state of the game is the same. The Rayquaza changes they made are really bad. But overall, I think the balance of all the classes are pretty good right now. It's just, again, they need to undo the Rayquaza changes. But I'm back to Master Rank. I think there's another 4 days in this ranking season before it all refreshes. There's a new superhero Full Fury fight. So if you've never done the Full Fury battles, those are back and they're super fun. And the New Year celebration is happening, and I think that lasts for another 15, 16 days. So you can get a bunch of free stuff by playing for New Year. It's basically coins and tickets and item enhancers.
Got it. This is off comicbook.com. Pokemon Squishmallows will return. I only knew this was a problem because of TikTok. Somebody on TikTok said that the Squishmallows had a big recall.
Yeah. Why?
And then it'll spread.
Like,
but it did. But like,
it didn't.
It didn't. That's why we pulled the article. Because I know from our podcast and from at least our community, they wanted the Squishmallows. And I said, hey, the Squishmallows are going to go up on. And I bet when the Squishmallows go up, they're going to sell out. They sold out in like 15 minutes, right? Like, they sold out incredibly fast. There is a restock. So if you take anything away from this news, there will be a restock. So the Squishmallows originally came out on PokemonCenter.com. It was a Pikachu and a Gengar. That was in November. And then they sold out in like 10 seconds.
Yep.
They will return to stores in February. And a representative stated that the items were not recalled due to online speculation.
Yeah, this
TikTok
article isn't great because basically somebody saw them in a Walmart, said they're in Walmart. Walmart probably, somebody from the company probably saw, hey, Walmart, you broke street date when you're supposed to get them off the floor.
That's what happened.
They ran out and grabbed them off the floor. And then some Rando said, oh my gosh, there's something wrong with them. They've been recalled.
Yes.
It's like, no, they broke street date. Somebody put them out early.
Yeah. I mean, the quote here from the representative was, Squishmallows and Pokemon are not being recalled. They were simply set out a bit early. Fans can expect to see them roll out soon for purchase. That happens sometimes. Stock will go on the floor a bit early and the systems have not caught up yet. They weren't supposed to be put on shelves until February. My guess is they were probably going to be saved closer to Pokemon Day.
Yep.
Because why not put them out right now if they're in stores? Because February is Pokemon Day and they'd love to have a bunch of Pokemon merch, new or old, returning a week or two before Pokemon Day, a week or two after Pokemon Day. That's it. There was somebody posted, I went to Walmart and here's a bunch of Squishmallows. I saw that TikTok. I was like, and I thought to myself, huh, I don't know where a Walmart is, but maybe I should go look to see if they have Squishmallows. But there shouldn't be any anymore. But they will come back next month. So
just clearing things up.
Do we even have Walmarts in Minneapolis?
Yes.
In the land of Target,
I mean, nobody goes to Walmart because Target is vastly superior. Also, it's a local business. So when you're shopping Target, you are shopping locally. No, there's a bunch of Walmarts. There's a Walmart right out by you.
Is there?
Yes.
I have no clue. I don't think I've ever seen a Walmart in this area.
You've probably seen it. You probably just haven't recognized it.
Why would you go?
I mean, that's true. Why would I go when I would go to the Targets? Hannah, you didn't get a Squishmallow yet, right? They sold out on you.
They sold out way too quickly. I wasn't even positive I was going to get one. I had considered it, and then before I could make a decision, they were out.
Yeah.
But I was expecting them to come back. I had heard the first bit of news like you did. I had no idea there were people saying that it was a recall.
What would they recall? Yeah. Like, oh.
Occasionally,
the Squishmallows
there
are full of poison. Pull them back. They're too squishy. We've lost three children into the vortex of the Squishmallow.
They're too huggable.
They're too huggable. This child hasn't released it since November. Pull them. Make them feel worse.
Hey, I mean, isn't Target selling breakup bears for Valentine's Day or something like that?
That sounds horrific.
What?
I think that's another TikTok I saw.
What?
Like, you know how you get like bears with like hearts for Valentine's Day, right? They had like bears that like the heart was like ripped in half, like, so long, good luck.
That's bad.
This has been an episode. That's pretty much all we got this week.
I go to Target a lot. Like, literally, I go to Target a lot. I have not seen this.
You've not seen the breakup?
Prices are only just starting to stock for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, Greg, you walk in, you get your Gengar Squishmallow and your breakup bear. Oh, wait, no, hold on. Target, Walmart's the ones. I don't actually know if other stores are supposed to be carrying these Squishmallows.
I bet they are.
Doesn't Walmart have a deal with Squishmallow, though? I feel like I have seen videos of Walmart employees putting out brand new Squishmallows and people like emptying the huge bin instantly because Squishmallows are popular.
I mean, I know you can get Squishmallows at Target. I've seen them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've definitely seen them elsewhere.
So I don't think it's exclusive. I don't think Pokemon would do an exclusive Walmart only Squishmallow thing. But I think there are exclusive Squishmallows that you can only get at certain outlets.
Yeah.
Like, I think you can only get one of them at Target, and you can only get one of them at Walmart or something. I don't know. They do those weird, like, this is the only one you can get. Like, they do that with action figures, too, which just boggles my mind.
I think they do it with Amiibos as well, where certain Amiibos were only available at certain stores. Anyways... I think that's it. That's all the Pokemon news we have. Obviously, we'll be back next week. I don't know what Scarlet and Violet stuff we should be expecting, but Joe, Mr. Cerebi.net said that like they will be talking about Scarlet and Violet on some TV show, which, to be fair, just because they're talking about it doesn't mean it's like breaking or huge news. It could be something as simple, but I would assume that they are going to start their press cycle of talking about Pokemon that aren't the initial 30 Pokemon they've talked about before. We have gotten really nothing on the US Pokemon website or the Japanese Pokemon website about newer Pokemon. And now that the first tournament has happened, and now that it's the new year, and now that people are getting back to work, and maybe updating graphics for tournaments, I don't know, that we'll be starting to talk about the... However, I don't even know how many new Pokemon were introduced in Scarlet and Violet. Was it like 89? 90? Something like...
Oh, gosh.
I think they're at 1,008 is the final Pokedex number. And I think after Hisui...
No, Hisui, yeah.
...was 905. So we would have been at 103 new Pokemon. Seems very high. Did they really do that many Pokemon in Scarlet and Violet? 103?
There are a lot.
There are a lot, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Next weekend is Cinderace weekend again, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Cinderace comes back. So ideally, by the time this podcast goes up, there should be a YouTube video I did breaking down what's actually happening in a raid battle. We're still at the point where I don't think people are understanding what's happening in raid battles. We're still at a point where people don't know what the cheer button does. Maybe they don't even know where the cheer button is.
Yeah, well, maybe they've been stuck on the cheer button for 5 minutes while they watch the rest of the raid happen around them, which is my common experience where I'm like,
yep.
At least you got stuck when trying to help, Greg. You're like, I was so close to hitting the help button, and now my game froze. That's what you got punished.
I got punished for trying to help, which is really how you want the help functions in your games to work.
Some of the most important buttons in the raid. The heal, the attack boost, and the defense boost.
There was one time where I hit the help button. It popped me into the back of the Iron Hands and never let me go. So all I had was a silver screen and occasional... notifications that sound was going on, and then after the raid was over, I finally got my menu screen. I'm like, this is... I have no idea. I'm glad you all won. Because I was useless, apparently.
I've had it where I went to go heal cheer. I think where it gets stuck, at least every time I've gotten stuck, it's because somebody has either defense cheer... Somebody has cheered, and then I've tried to cheer, and that seems... Where I get stuck is when another cheer goes off. Because when somebody cheers, it pans normally to that character, and then you see them like do the, like the fist in the air kind of thing. But when I got the last time I got stuck, I was stuck for, you know, several minutes, and then my menu came back, but the cheer menu was still overlaid on top of my menu. So there was two menus on top of each other. I was still able to play and like kind of like see through it. That is not what the video I worked on is about. The video I worked on explained how the boss's shield works. Because I think, and I say this in the YouTube video, I think that some players want to one-shot the boss because they don't want to deal with the shield. And the shield is there to make the boss harder, right? The shield is there as like, this is a very common thing in Final Fantasy 14 or Destiny, you know, these games with MMO mechanics where like there is a round one of damage and then there's a round two. And round one was built normally of like, are you good enough to get to round two? And some people, I think, are misunderstanding why the shield goes up. And I say in the video that there might not be an opportunity where we can one-shot all future bosses. The move Stored Power is a psychic-type move. There is not a flying-type stored power. There is not a dark-type stored power. There are not a lot of Pokemon are weak to psychic. So anyways, that's what that video will be. I also will have a video on, you know, six Pokemon you can build for just 5- and 6-star raids. My video for Cinderace, I think, still holds up pretty well as those builds for Cinderace. If you want to do group setting, I will still be doing Cinderace this weekend. This podcast goes up on the 9th. So if you do need help with Cinderace, Just come by my Twitch stream. I'll jump into your raid. I'll more than happy to help you. Mod the community over at Twitch, which is not annoying like the competitive community. they will also help you out. We had a lot of new people when Cinderace came through, and they were like, "Oh my gosh, like we got it done." Like everyone was so nice and so helpful. So if you need that, if you want to get Cinderace done so you can catch it in whatever ball you want to catch it in, that's cool. Or if you just want to grind out Cinderace because the rewards are fairly decent. Also, people very much easier to grind out with people who know what they're doing versus solo. I'm sure you could get it done solo over and over, but it's much faster when you have three competent people standing next to you. Anyways, Hannah, thank you for being here. Greg, thank you for being here. We will be back next week. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.
Keeping an eye out for Kecleon. Super effective.
This podcast is brought to you by Patreon. If you would like to support our show and what we do here, you can head over to patreon.com/pkmncast. A huge shout out to our producers who support our show, starting with Jessica, Kay, Matthew, Sean, Stephen, Anthony, Brian, Gray, Josh, Casey, Catherine, Bovine, Nate, Ryan, and Stuart. And a huge shout out to our executive producers of Brady and Spencer. Thank you so much for supporting our show. We'll be back next week. If you too would like to support our show, you can head over to patreon.com/pkmncast, and we will see you guys next time.